The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Greetings to all of you in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and today, once again, we will continue with our study of the Gospel of John. Let us pray. Our precious Lord Jesus, we pray for the anointing of the sacred Holy Spirit on the declaration of this thy good word. In your name we pray, amen. Last week I shared with you in John 1, verse 9, where it says, that was the true light, which means Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I brought to your attention that at the moment of physical birth, every person and the world receives light from Jesus. This light is a knowledge of good and evil. This light comes through the gift of conscience. This light also includes an innate knowledge within the soul of every person born into the world that there is a God, so that man is without excuse on Judgment Day. In other words, no one is born an atheist. People are brainwashed into atheism, but they are not born as atheists. Then I ended my message last week with a story of a social philosopher who lectured in the United States in the middle of this century in many universities and colleges trying to convince students that there is no God. On his deathbed, he finally came to the moment of soberness and honesty. While he was in the last hour of his life, his friend said to him, Henry, I suppose I will never see you again. Henry responded, I will see you in hell. After that, Henry picked up the telephone and called for a Roman Catholic priest to come and pray for him. Dear ones, Jesus is a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Yes, you can cover up that light. You can pretend it does not exist, but you can never extinguish it. Now, let me tell you another story while I'm on the subject matter. Several years ago, a Russian immigrant drove into my yard because I had an ad in the paper for some puppy dogs to be given away. So he and his wife and their only daughter came for dog reasons. But it wasn't very long that this gentleman, his name was Boris, and I became good friends. He was a Jew. And the reason why he came to the United States was that he wrote a book which was published in the underground under the communist system of the Soviet Union. The KGB discovered his book, and he was expelled from the Soviet Union. But while he was there, early in his life, he went to school with the son of Brezhnev, who was then the general secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. So Boris got to know all these big, important, politically and military important figures in the Kremlin. And this is what he told me. I want you to know, Reimar, he said, my first name is Reimar, I want you to know that there isn't anybody in the Kremlin who ever read Karl Marx's manifesto. Karl Marx's manifesto is the communist Bible. And then Boris said, I want you to know also that all these communist leaders, when they come to the point of death, they call for a Russian Orthodox priest, just in case. Oh yes, Jesus is a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now let me ask you, has it always been that way? Or did this lighting of the human soul begin with the coming of Jesus into the world? Well, I believe we know, number one, that man has always had a conscience. We know, number two, that man has always known from birth that there is a God. And three, we know that Jesus has always sent light into the souls of men from the beginning of time, because it is indicated here so by this verse. We know it by the word of Jesus, that he was, it says, he was the true light which lighteth every man. So it's always been that way. Now then, let us get ready for our second point of this message that I began with last week, and that is found in verse 11, where it says, He, that is Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received him not. We don't know what this verse is talking about until we decide who his own refers to. His own, from the expanded understanding of the Greek ta idia, means those of his own family, or those of his own city, or his own country, or those of his own people, or it refers to his own citizens or his own brethren. That's enough, isn't it, for us to figure out that his own here refers to the Jewish people with whom God had made a covenant through Abraham. His own received him not means that they did not acknowledge him as their Messiah, as their Savior from sin. They did not believe in his salvation. They did not accept his authority, his power to save them. They did not believe he was the Son of God. They did not believe and obey him, and they did not become partakers of his holiness. That is one of the saddest chapters in Jewish and human history. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. For 2,000 years from God's covenant with Abraham, there was a messianic expectation expressed in so many passages. For example, you have it in the prophecy of Balaam, the strange prophet. I read to you from Numbers 24:17, where Balaam says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Of course, this refers to Jesus, of the coming of the Messiah. So, you have all these prophecies, you have these messianic expectations for 2,000 years of history. They are found all the way through the Psalms of David, and they are in the prophets. We have this great text to which Handel wrote the Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But when he came, when Jesus came to his own, they knew him not. They received him not. They believed him not. They obeyed him not. Instead, they crucified him. Even his own family did not believe in him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let me ask you, are the Jews any better than Adam was? Adam, who disbelieved, who disobeyed, who sinned? Methinks the sin of Israel was as great as the sin of Adam and the sin of Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. Oh, how clearly it becomes to all of us very quickly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. After the crucifixion, no longer could the Jews say, I'm better than Adam, I would not have eaten of the forbidden fruit, nor could the Romans say, who nailed Jesus to the cross, that they were better than Adam or better than the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, does his own here refer to all the Jews? No, not at all, but to most all. Anna was one exception. She received Jesus. She prayed for his coming. Old Simeon received the Lord Jesus in his arms and blessed him. The apostles believed in him, and they followed him, forsaking all for his sake. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Joanna believed in him, but oh, the vast number of Jews did not receive him. How about you? Is your heart, my friend, any better than the heart of the Jew who killed him? Is your heart any better than the heart of Adam who disobeyed in the garden, or the heart of Cain who killed his brother Abel? Well, I believe I can tell you how you can find out. If you've ever spoken evil of a man of God, of a man sent from God, or criticized him, or rejected him, or opposed him, then your heart is just like the heart of the Jews who did not receive him, or the heart of the Romans who nailed him to the cross. You can surely agree now, can't you, that you are part of this vast humanity of which Paul says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, may God have mercy on all of us, for there are many times when we have killed what is of God, if not with the sword, then with our tongues. Yet in the darkness of this rejection, there's light. There's a candle that shines brightly. It says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I believe this probably is one of the greatest buts in the Gospel of John. His own received him not, but there were some who did, and there were more Jews who received Jesus on the day of Pentecost. But Jerusalem remained an anti-Christian city. They killed Stephen, and they drove the Christians out of town. Yet, friend, I have good news for you. I have good news for the Jews, and I myself am part Jew. The Apostle Paul told the Roman church that a day would come when the Jews will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when all Israel will be saved. And that is more than what God is saying about the Gentiles. It does not say anywhere in all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that all Gentiles will ever be saved. But it says in Romans, the day will come when all Israel shall be saved. Well, glory to God. Now, looking back at the moment of conversion, when a person receives Jesus, he receives power from God. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. The power we humans know and are associated with is limited power. Whether it is steam power, or rocket power, or electric power, or lever power, or muscle power, all the power we can come up with has limits, and it eventually disappoints us. But there is a power so great that it will never meet a barrier that it cannot break through. That is the power of God, which is received by everyone who receives the Lord Jesus. This power can do anything. It can still storms. It can make men have fellowship in a fiery furnace. It can stop the mouth of lions. It can turn water into wine, raise the dead, and make the sun to stand still. Yes, I say, the primary purpose, however, of this power is far more for the changing of human lives than anything else in the universe. The primary purpose of this power, this unlimited power of God, is to make you and me sons of God, saints of God, to turn us from sinners into Christ-like, godly people. Think how great that really is. Whosoever receives Jesus receives this unlimited power, power that knows no limits. So there's no excuse for any of us for saying, well, I have no willpower, I have so many emotional scars, I have psychological problems, I cannot live the Christian life. My friend, whether you can or cannot live a Christian life does not depend on any of these things. It depends on whether you claim the power of God as He has given it to you when you received the Lord Jesus Christ. To summarize this section now, Jesus lighteth every man that cometh into the world. His own received him not, but all those who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. And let me tell you today, if you have internet, you can look at my website. Get paper and pencil ready, because there are wonderful things on my website, and you get better acquainted with me. So here's my website address, www.schulze, that's schulze.org. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.